And today we are going to be speaking about Karban Asham. Karban Asham happens to be a uniquely, what I would call, complicated Karban. It's a complicated Karban. We're going to share, hopefully, some good Torah about Karban Asham. I want to get a little bit of background as far as giving you some of the basic yediyos, basic dinim. After we've seen some of the basic dinim, we'll look at a couple different sugyas and then try to develop one or two ideas about why you bring Karban Asham that are going to be important. Let me begin by just saying the following. Karban Asham is a little bit different than the other karbanos we've seen thus far. Ola, Chatas, Mincha, and Shlamim. So it's all pretty clear why you bring them, and they seem to be brought for certain categories of things. For Aseis, for Achilas Basar Taiva, to rectify it, to sanctify it. For Chatayim, that if you did bemaze it, it's Nisar Kares. A Karban Asham is brought in one of six circumstances, and only in one of six circumstances. I'll go through them pretty quickly, but it's important to know, we say a lot of this in Ezu Mekoman every morning. The first is in the case of what's called an Asham Gezelos. Asham Gezelos is if you owed someone money, you stole from them, you borrowed money from them, you then deny in court, you then deny, you take a shavua that you don't owe them any money, you lied, you stole and then lied. In a case like that, when you get caught, so you have to, aside from giving the money back and adding one-fifth, a chomesh, there's a special asham you bring called asham gezelos. There's another case called asham me'ila. Now, asham gezelos you bring even when you violate the avera b'mezid on purpose. You still bring that asham. Asham me'ila is brought if, by mistake, I happen to have derived benefit from hektish. That's the isser of me'ila. If by mistake I derive benefit from hektish, I have to pay back the value of that benefit. I have to add a fifth, and I bring an asham called an asham me'ila. The third case is asham shifcha charufa. Asham shifcha charufa. This is actually not found in Parshas Vayikra. Asham shifcha charufa is where you have a woman, at least according to some days in Chazal, who is half free, half a slave. And she is there is kiddushin between her and an eved ivri. You then go and you are mizana with that woman who's half slave, half free, engaged kiddushin to an eved ivri. That person, when you are with her, you then have to bring an asham also for shifcha charufa. The fourth case where you bring a shifcha, where you bring a karban asham is called an asham taloi. Asham taloi is not like the first three where it's a particular avera you violated. Asham taloi is where you are not sure if you violated an avera and are chayv achatas or not. I'm not sure am I chayv achatas. I have to bring an asham. I have to bring an asham taloi. Okay. The last two cases, cases 5 and 6, where you bring a karban asham, are part of the mitzora and nazir processes. An asham nazir and an asham mitzora. We're not going to speak about those ashams today. They're probably a little bit different. Effie, your question is important, but not for now. It's an important like Maseches Kiddushin and Krisis question. So afterwards we talk about it potentially. But Asham Nazir, Asham Mitzora, we're not going to speak about for now. That's probably a little bit different. But that's a Karban Asham. It's brought for those sins. Now, what's interesting is the following. The dinim of Asham, so described here in Vayikra Perek Hey, described in Vayikra Perek Zayin, Shifcha Charufa is brought in Perek Yutes, we'll go and we'll build from there. There are a couple halachas about Asham that are important. Some of the halachas are going to be more similar to Karban Chatas. Some of the halachas are going to have Asham be more similar to Karban Ola. As an example, the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Hei tells us that a Karban Asham, like a Karban Chatas, can't really be voluntarily offered. Either you're chayef to bring an asham, or you can't offer it. Asham taloi may be an exception, but generally speaking, the simple pshat of the Gemara, asham can't be brought b'neder or nedava. Either you're chayef or not, like a chatas. You can't voluntarily offer it. Asham may also be like a chatas, according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah Beis. We saw yesterday that if you do avoda with a carbon chatas shelo lishma, with the wrong person in mind, with the wrong carbon in mind, so a chatas shelo lishma is pasul. Says Rabbi Lazar, just like a chatas is pasul, in ashram is also pasul shelo lishma. A chatas is ba'al hachet, in ashram is ba'al hachet. In that sense, chatas is similar to ashram. For according to Belazar, at least, they're both pasul shelo lishma. A third context in which chatas is similar to asham is similar to chatas is that it's kachay kachim, which the kohanim eat, as opposed to ola, which no one eats, gets entirely burned on the mizbeach, as opposed to shlamim, which everyone eats. Chatas and asham are both eaten by the kohanim. They're eaten by the kohanim. So chatas seems to be like asham and chatas, similar halachas. And we would point out that really does make sense to argue that they're very similar. They both come for chata'im. They both come for chata'im. There are also halachas where chatas is more similar to ola. How is chatas more similar to ola? So this is true in particular when it comes to the zrikas, to the sprinkling of blood. We saw yesterday that chatas has extra zrikas, and the zrikas are done with your hands, with your fingers, and it's done higher up on the mizbeach also, and four places. It's done more. The zrikas of an asham are more similar to the zrikas of an ola. They're more similar to an ola. So, on the one hand, it has similar dinim to chatas. It has similar dinim to ola. It also has category three, certain halachas that are the same as chatas and ola. How does it have halachas that are the same as chatas and ola? Well, they're all called kachay kachim, which means because they're in this higher level of kedusha of karbanos, the shechita is going to be done bitzafon. The shechita is going to be done on the northern part of the mizbeach bitzafon because it's kachay kachim. Asham also has... Can you hear me? No? Okay. Asham also has an additional halacha, which is unique to Asham, which is Asham can't be brought bitzibor. There's no Asham which is brought by the entire tzibor. Asham is only brought by a yachid. It's only brought by a yachid. A yachid, when he's chayef to bring it. That is... So in certain sense, it's like a chatas. It gives kapara, has certain similar halachas to chatas, has certain similar halachas to ola. It has certain overlap, it's kachay kachim. Has some of its own halachos also, in that there's no din of an asham bit sibor. So that's just a little bit of some of the background information of ola. And we spoke about why you offer a carbon ola. It's only brought in six circumstances. Six and only six circumstances. It's clear it's giving you kapara. The psukim say that in Parshas Vayikra. It's clear it's giving you kapara. What is somewhat less clear is if it's more like ola or chatas, but to figure out or define better what ashram is really all about. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is as follows. I'll give a chakira right now. I'll say it in a very simplistic way. We'll look at like one or two sugyas, and then we'll say things in a more precise way. The more simplistic way to say it is, well, is an asham really like a chatas? Just like a chatas is defined by its kapara, asham is also really like a chatas. just for whatever reason, it's a little bit different. Okay? Is an asham more similar to an ola? Got to find out how that would be, but has some overlap as far as the zrikas, which may be really important for chatas, is unique kapara-based phenomenon, or part of the unique character of chatas. Is it more like ola? Okay. Those are the two mahalchim initially. The third mahalch is going to be, I'll give it away right now, an asham is really not a chatas or an ola, it's an asham. And that requires defining what an asham really is. But that is going to be some of the background. Let's look at two sugyas. One of them where maybe you see that asham is a little bit more like chatas. One of them you see that asham, maybe it's a machokas rishonim. Is it more like ola, more like chatas? And then we'll speak about ways of defining and explaining what asham really is. I said this morning in the huddle that in these shiurim, we sometimes rely a little bit more in perushim al hatorah because there just aren't that many rishonim on the gemaras even in Seder Kachim. So therefore, sometimes like, you know, we don't have the Ramban really on Kachim. So you're dealing with Ramban's al Torah. We'll quote a Ramban later in Bab Metzia, another unique halacha about asham. We'll see. But some good Torah as Hashem. The first sugya that we will see where things come up is the following. And that is here. We've learned a lot already from this Mishnah in Zvachim on Daf Pei Tes. Which karbanos come before other karbanos? And it's helpful to know, chatas come before ola because chatas is miratza. That's where we saw a raya, maybe the chatas is about causing kapara, maybe ola isn't, it's only a daron. So chatas trumps ola, chatas is miratza. Says the Mishnah there, chatas kodemes le'asham. Chatas comes before asham. If you have a chatas and an asham to bring, you offer the chatas first. How come? Mipnei shedama nitein ledalet karnos al ha-yisod. Al ha-yisod. Says the Mishnah there, chatas comes before asham because chatas has more zrikas than asham. Chatas has more zrikas than asham. That's what we have there. What was not the distinguishing factor between chatas and asham? It didn't say what we said about ola. It didn't say chatas is mechaper. Chatas gives you forgiveness for your sins, and ola doesn't. So chatas first. But when it comes to chatas and asham, we don't distinguish between them based on gives kapara and one of them doesn't. Why not? So if you look in the Rishonim, it's probably pretty clear. If you look in some of the Rishonim, as an example, look in Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Mishnah there in Zvachim. He says, "Avotayma deritzoy dechatas legabe asham deshnehem miratzim ela dechatas miratzim yoser." So lo olim kolkach motayma dedal karnos. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it happens to be that asham and chatas both give kapara because they both give kapara. Even though chatas is better, it's a better form of kapara, because it doesn't give the intense form of, because it still gives kapara, chatas doesn't come before asham because it is mechaper as opposed to asham. They're both mechaper. So the better reason why chatas comes first, is because it has extra zrikas. It has extra zrikas. That's what really gives it. It's a better reason why than just saying they both give kapara, chatas is a little bit better. But what you see from that distinction in the Mishnah there is it seems like chatas and asham are in the same ballpark. They both are there to give you forgiveness for sins. The difference is the chatas is a bar. Okay, fine. It's maybe more severe sins. We'll see that in a little bit. But chatas is, you know, somewhat stronger because of the zrikas. Parentheses. You could argue that's what the Mishnah even means. That if you connect Zrika to Kapara, like we saw yesterday, that was Ezra's point, I think, that more Zrikas equal more Kaparas, so that's sort of what the Mishnah is really saying. You're right, Chatas and Asham both give Kapara. But since Chatas has more Zrikas, it has more Kapara than Asham. You know, and that's good to go. Okay, it could be. If you look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger there, just to clarify for now, if you look at his lashon, it seems like Rabbi Rosner wrote a great article about Ashram a bunch of years ago, where he points that also. It seems like, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, the difference between Chatas and Ashram is what you would call quantitative. One of them gives more kapara, one of them gives less kapara. One of them is an 8, and one of them is a 5. But they work in similar ways. And that Gemara does imply on some level that Ashram really does give some kapara. It's more similar to Chatas. That's at least, there's more there in the sugya. You can look in Tosfos, and Shitmuku Betes there. There's more there. That's at least one Ha'ara as far as the status of Ashram also giving you a degree of kapara. Clarity thus far? 1, 2, 3. So Theo, that was yesterday. The Gemara says kapara is given through Zrika. Okay. Ezra, what's up?
Yeah, just similar in light to Theo. Is it meaning, can we say like,
you're just muted yourself.
The fact that there's more sprinkles, is the fact that there's more sprinkles that like show like, because it's more kapara based, and like there's a relationship, a correlation between sprinkling and kapara, and the more is the more?
I think that's the assumption that we were working off of yesterday. That it's not coincidental that chatas, which is more kapara based, has more zrikas. That was the assumption that we were working off of, I think. Okay. There is another sugya. This one requires us to hold cup a little bit. It's a famous sugya. It comes up in Shas in a whole lot of places. In Temura, in Zvachim, in Menachos, in Psachim, in Nazir. It's all over the place in Shas, I think. Called Asham Shenitak Liriya. What does that mean? Let me give a little bit of background. This is going to be important. We learned yesterday, we're going to do this slowly, and hopefully it can be really clear, and we'll see some nice Torah. We saw yesterday that there are what Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, a Gemara in Temura on Daf Tazayin, called the 5 Chataos HaMesos. There are 5 Chatases, such as, one example, a Chatas where the owner of the Chatas died, which the Halacha is, the animal, you let the animal dies. The animal dies. You do nothing with it, the animal dies. Chataos HaMesos. In the Gemara tells us that all of those cases, what would happen? The cases are if the owner got kapara through a different karban, if the owner died. That's for now, we'll go with those examples. What would happen, those same cases, with a karban asham? What about an asham and the owner died? What would we do? So the Gemara says, anything which is one of the chataos hamesos, with an asham is called nitak liriya. What does that mean? What we do is we let the animal eventually get a mum. The animal gets a blemish. We then redeem the animal. We pay money for what the animal's worth. That money we then use to buy a carbon ola and to offer an ola. So if you have a carbon asham and the owner dies, you take that animal. You let the animal graze around a little bit. It gets a mum, a blemish. Once an animal has a blemish, you're allowed to redeem it, which means to remove its kedusha from it. So you're then going to basically give the money, which the animal is worth, to the mikdash, to hekdish. It's worth $100. You're going to give $100. The animal's now mutter. You could do what you want with it, more or less. You then are going to take that money and buy an ola. That is, a lot of that is dirabanan. Mi de oraisa, the asham itself which you used, you actually didn't have to let it get a mum and sell it. You're allowed to offer that same animal as a carbon ola. The same animal that was in asham, you're allowed to just, once the owner died, as an example, you're allowed to just like transform it from an asham into an ola, and to offer it as an ola. That in and of itself is a little bit of a chiddush. Normally, an animal is what the animal is. An asham is locked. Yeah, it's all in the Gemara. An asham is locked in to its asham status, and we don't switch around from an asham to something else. A chatas is locked into its chata status. And we don't switch around. It is what it is. There are certain examples like Mosar Pesach, Mosar Chatas, Sugizim Menachos and Daf Kufchas in the first parak of Zvachim. But more or less, a carbon, an animal, is locked into what it is. Except for right now. If the owner, Effie, if the owner, let's say one of the examples, if the owner dies, the Asham, Mida O'Raisa, Mida Rabbanan, we wait for it to get the blemish. Then we sell it and use the money for an Ola. But Mida O'Raisa, you could actually use the animal itself for an Ola. General clarity thus far on the background of that? 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Effie, what's your question?
No,
okay. There is, however, a machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. This is a bunch of places in Shas. Rashi, different formulations. Rabbeinu Tam, different formulations. But we'll give a little bit of an overview of it. Rabbeinu Tam says, Mida Oraisa, you don't have to do anything to this animal. You could just take it and offer it as an Ola. The transition from Asham to Ola for Rabbeinu Tam does not require you to really do anything. Mida Oraisa. Just offer it straight. All I got to do. It can go from an Asham to an Ola in these cases. Rashi, however, says that's actually not always true. It's not true. It can't smoothly go from an Asham to an Ola. You have to do something, nitak, to transform it from an Asham to an Ola. As an example, Rashi in Tzvachim writes, could be you require like Beis Din to make a statement to like transfer its status. But on its own, it can't smoothly just go from an Asham to an Ola. So what emerges is as follows. Everybody agrees what we actually do with an Asham whose owner got kapara a different way or whose owner died. And therefore the Asham can't be brought now because the owner no longer needs kapara, that we will let it get a mum, we'll sell it, use the money, and use that money to buy an Ola. But Mida O'Raisa, that same animal can become an Ola. The only machlokes is, Rabbeinu Tam says, Mida O'Raisa. The Rabbanan are more machmir, say sell it v'chule. But Mida O'Raisa, says Rabbeinu Tam, you can just use it from an Asham and make it into an Ola. However, according to Rashi, Mida O'Raisa, you have to actually transfer it and switch it from an Asham to an Ola. What is that machlokes based on? Does it smoothly go from an Asham to an Ola? So Theo's suggestion is what some Achronim suggest. If Rosenzweig suggested this, he pointed out it's not Mukrach. But what you are likely to say is as follows. If an Asham really shares a lot of similar characteristics to an Ola, and we'll clarify what that means in a little bit. So then Rabbeinu Tam makes a lot of sense. It's not as challenging to have a carbon that could be transferred fairly naturally from the Kedushas Asham to Kedushas Ola. They're so similar anyway. They're interchangeable. I'll give a muscle, you know, that Ezra would like. You know, shooting guards and small forwards, you can more smoothly transfer their positions because it's fairly similar anyway. But if transferring from a point guard to a center, so Magic Johnson, you know, back in the 80s, that's one thing, it's one of the greats. But for most of us, you know, it's too great to transfer. So Rashi says that Asham and Ola have no connection whatsoever. Asham's like a chatas. It comes along and it brings kapara. And if it comes along and it brings kapara, so it's not a natural transition from Ola to Asham. You have to do something to transfer it, to transfer its Kedusha. You got to do something to transfer its Kedusha. Okay. So what we've seen thus far is as follows. Let's clarify. Carbon Asham is brought in very specific circumstances. It has certain overlap in halachas with an Ola. Its zrikas are like an Ola. It has certain overlap with the chatas. Kohanim eat it. It can't be voluntarily offered. It also has some of its own halachas. In a certain sense, it's like a chatas on the kapara angle. That's the sugya on daf pei. Shonim may debate how similar is its kedusha to Ola, how similar is its kedusha to chatas. That's that sugya in Zvachim on Davhei and Temura and other places. Sam, what's up?
Are there any other situations in which we do this type of thing, where we have a carbon that might be transferring?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Yes, there are other examples. I tried to wrap this very briefly, but I think too quickly for even me to follow. Yes, there are cases of chatas to shlamim. I'm sorry, of carbon pesach to shlamim. That's one example. There happens to be examples also of chatas and asham. It's a gemara in Temura and daf chav gimel, related to in Menachos and daf kufches, of both chatas and ashams that actually become an ola, but that is a less natural transition probably. Probably. The context there is called Moser Chatas and Moser Asham. It's a halacha almost mi Sinai and a drush of Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol. There's a brisker Rav in Hilchot Tzuleim HaKdashim and Perek Hay. I learned this 2 days ago. That's the only reason why I know this. Where if you dedicated money for a Chatas and then you have leftover money from the Chatas, so that is used for buying Olas to offer on the Mizbeach and things like that. I'll point out very briefly, Derech Agav, we're assuming here, which is another issue that Sam's pointing out in brackets, we're assuming that when it transfers, that it really transfers from Asham to Ola. I think they quote from Rav Shach and Avi Ezri that maybe it really is still an Asham. We just offer it like an Ola to entirely burn it. But maybe it's like an Asham that we're makriv like an Ola, in which case Sam has an additional question, which is, are there other examples where we have karbanos with one kedusha that are offered like a different karban? And the answer is maybe chatas nazir mitzora yoledes was maybe offered like a chatas, but also be like an ola. So maybe it happens sometimes, in case you were wondering. General clarity in everything other than the last 2 minutes. 1, 2, and 3. Okay, now let's have a good time a little bit. Let's say over some Torah. Bipat, not that that wasn't Torah beforehand, but let's say over some additional Torah. So what is an Asham? What is an Asham? You know, it's like, the question is not, is an Asham a Chatas, is an Asham an Ola, or is an Asham an Asham? The answer is, an Asham's an Asham. And an Asham is different on some level, undoubtedly, than a Chatas. So what's going on? How do you categorize it? So we are going to work off of Ramban al HaTorah. There are about 5 Rambans al HaTorah that are awesome. We're going to focus on one Ramban. We'll give some context. There's one very famous Ramban which is important. We'll elaborate on that a little bit. I'll share with you an additional Mahalach, which some have also in the Ramban, based on a different Ramban, which I think is very, very beautiful also. Let's get going a little bit. And the questions I would just frame are the following questions. Number one, why is it that an Asham has overlap with a Chatas and an Ola? In what way is there overlap between Chatas and an Ola? Question one. Question two, it would be awesome if we understood why Dafka these Averas are we offering an Asham for? There are a lot of Averas out there. Why Dafka these Averas? There are many that suggest answers to that question. It's not so easy to figure it out, and it's very hard to get an awesome answer that you'll hear and you say, yeah, that for sure makes sense. But we'll make a suggestion. I can't say it's perfect, but let's go a little bit. The Ramban says a bunch of different things, just to formulate things a little bit. Number one, let's learn some Ramban. On the one hand, there seem to be stiras in Ramban as to how you categorize an Asham. Ramban al Torah and Parshas Naso says the Ramban, the Nesiim, when they were mocking in the base of Nachshon and everyone else, those all the Psukim and Naso, they offered lots of karbanos. They offered all of the karbanos except for an Asham. Says the ki achatas veha Asham davar echad v'shem echad hu, because Nachshon realized once I'm offering a chatas, I don't have to offer an Asham. A chatas is really like an Asham. Okay? Ramban, similarly, in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, in Bereishis, Tes Vav Tes, we offer 3, there's Agal Mishuleshes, Eid Mishuleshes, all the Karbanos, what's going on there in Bris Bein HaBesarim. The Ramban suggests the 3 there may be different Karbanos. What about Ola Chazan Shom? What about Asham? ki ha'asham kichatas hu. Then how come when we offered the bris bin ha'basarim, when Avram made a bris with Hashem, why were there three there? Because those are the three main kola, chatas, and shlamim. And asham is like chatas, so it doesn't have to be offered. It doesn't have to be offered separately. Doesn't have to be offered separately. There are also Rambans where the Ramban says that asham is like ola. This is the Ramban al Torah in Vayikra Perigimel Pasuk Aleph, where the Ramban says, interestingly, that an ola it has to be offered from a male animal. A shlamim can be offered from a male or female animal. A chatas has to be offered from a female animal. Asham, he says, is ki'ilu hu l'reyach nichoach ka'ola. In this respect, asham is like an ola. Asham is like an ola. It is also there. It's like an ola also. Yeah, Dov, it's a very fair question. The Ramban doesn't say that, probably because the Nesim's Karbanos broke a lot of rules, which is not for now as much, but they broke certain rules. Okay. So the Ramban thinks it's like a chatas and like an asham, but in truth, the Ramban al Torah tells us it really is also a little bit different. So let's figure out what is an asham. So here is a very, very famous section of a Ramban. We're going to develop a mahalach about asham based on this. And the Ramban says as follows. Let's read the Ramban closely. V'hanira be'enai ki shem asham mora al davar gadol. Says the Ramban, asham causes worse chata'im. It's a worse chait than chatas is chait. First of all, chatas is always b'shogeg. Some of the ashams are done b'mezid. I stole b'mezid. Bia with shiva harufa b'mezid. It is davar gadol. Moreover, says the Ramban, not only is it worse, but Rav gets in a second, but he does have to explain asham taloi. Very fair point that we'll get to. Or hope we speak about asham taloi in a different time. But not only that, they're actually asked to do different things. Says the Ramban, Asher Hayan Show Yischayev Yoshamim V'Avad Bo. The asham you actually deserve. Asham, you deserve to be desolate. You deserve to be lost entirely as a result of violating these averus. As opposed to a chatas, which is not entirely desolate and lost, chatas is al davar nata bo min haderech. That's something where you are a little bit off of the path, but you're not completely lost. A wrong turn is one thing; being completely lost, that is an asham. That is an asham. Says the Ramban, why am I bringing an asham? The ki achei gadol yischayev liyos ashem bo. Vinei hu kvar shameim ve'avad. V'yikre karbanu harishon asham, sheyagin alav min ha'asham asher hu shameim ba. Hachata shu mechaper shigigosav. The Ramban goes through all the time, the different averas, why they're so bad. But the Ramban says they're so bad, the difference is as follows. Chatas and asham both come to respond to sin, but they do so in different ways. Rosenzweig and Lichtenstein each have elaborated on this in slightly different ways. But you can look on I put on the sheet some of the Lichtenstein from Shiurim, at least three places in the Shiurim and Zvachim speaks about it. The difference is, Chatas is about a Maisa Aveira that you did, and the Karban comes to cancel out the Maisa Aveira. You did a Maisa Aveira, you are Chayav a Karban, you bring the Karban, it's Ki'ilu, in one place, Lichtenstein said, it's Ki'ilu, you're paying back a debt. You're chai of a carbon. I offer a carbon and neutralize the ma'isa avera. Asham is where I am, in a certain sense, lost. And asham does two things. Number one, it's actually a little bit less focused on the ma'isa avera you did, but in a way which is similar to ola, as we saw, it really is attacking or helping you as a person. You as a person. It's not a Maisa Aveira I did, but an Asham is this Maisa Aveira caused me to be in a different place. I am lost and distant from Hashem, and the Asham changes my standing in a way that the simple Pshat and Chatas, not the way we explained yesterday, the second Mahalach, but the simple Pshat and Chatas, I'm fine copy Hashem. I just owe him a carbon because I violate Shabbos by mistake. But I have to deal with that issue. But an Asham is I am as a Gavra lost. And the purpose of the Asham, it attacks me as a Gavra in a certain sense. So it's similar to Chatas, it atones for a Chait. It's similar to Asham in that it attacks not the Maisa Avera I did. I owe you for the Maisa Avera. We've canceled Maisa Avera. But it transfers me as an Asham. Further, Rav Lichtenstein added, in a different section there, Chatas is past-oriented. Chatas is, I sinned, and therefore, I have to wipe out the Maisa Avera I did. I owe you for the Maisa Avera a Chatas. Asham is future-oriented in the Ramban. It's about protecting me from the horrific shamim of a lost guilt, distance from Hashem, which I am supposed to have. It's more in that category. It's more in that category. That's another additional distinction. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Rav Lichtenstein, I said it over more the way, I think Rosenzweig, I think, likes to emphasize the Gavra piece a bit more. Rav Lichtenstein also has the past versus present. But it's very similar, you know, both of them on that respect. I'm going to speak really quickly right now. You know what? I'm not. I'll leave it at that. So in that sense, Asham is somewhere sort of in between. It relates to a sin which is more chamor. It's a worse kind of a sin. Okay. And I deserve to be really distant. But what I'm doing is not just attacking my Maisa Avera. I'm protecting me in the future and changing my own personal standing as a Gavra, Kalapi the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like a person who, for the Chatas, you're the same guy who just messed up a bit. So you got to fix the fact that you messed up. An Asham is the kind of thing which really alters your place entirely. And that requires a different carbon to put you back in a better place and protect you. Yeah, John, have you a question? Okay. There is an additional Mahalach. I think it's a similar but slightly different Mahalach. You can take it or leave it. When I was in YU, I heard Chaburas for years from Rabbi Shmuel Hain, who's now teaching us at our high school, is the Rabbi Ben Yisrael of North Riverdale, I believe. He actually saved me on the day of my wedding. I have a karas tov to him for a bunch of reasons, but one in particular. My wedding started at 4 p.m. in Montreal. Rabbi Hain came up to the wedding. Very, very nice of him. Rosenzweig had two flights canceled, as some of you may have heard me say over in the past. Ended up as a story in Mishpacha Magazine. But when the wedding started, I did not know who was going to be Mesader Kedushin. Rabbi Hain was kind enough to fill out the ksuva. I think he filled up the RCA prenup also, just a lot of the stuff that we needed as we were like figuring out who was going to like be Mesader Kedushin. So he was immensely, immensely helpful. And I have a lot of, but he's great. So he actually, I heard some Torahs from Karbanos from him. He is a very beautiful Mahalach in Karban Asham. I'm not sure if others have it also, but it's a very sharp Mahalach, which I think is really excellent. He pointed out there's another Ramban. The Ramban connects, actually, Asham. He quotes the pasuk from Yosef's brothers when they realize they messed up of Ashemim Anachnu. And there are other Rishonim also that connect Asham to when the brothers realize they messed up and they say Ashemim Anachnu, that we made a mistake. The Ramban writes, what's Ashemim Anachnu? So says the Ramban, Ashemim Anachnu was the brother saying, not we were guilty because of the act we did, the Maisa of selling Yosef. Ashemim Anachnu was the underlying, like the cruelty, which led us to do so. That Ashemim wasn't the Maisa of selling, it was the general underlying sort of like anger and cruelty that we had that led us to do it, Behain suggests in light of that, that maybe Asham is brought less Maisa Avera focused. Unlike a Chatat with clear Maisa Averas, some of the Ashams are at minimum complex Maisa Averas. The Asham Gezelos is both a little bit of a withholding money and a Shvua. Not clear where the Maisa Aveira per se exactly is. Asham Shivcha Rufa, it's complex cases. It's more, it's not as focused on the Maisa Aveira as much as on the underlying cause of certain Maisa Aveiras. That may help explain the Ramban as to why you are lost with these Maisa Aveiras. They explain a certain sort of underlying cause of Aveiras. He suggests, based on that, we'll get to the point in a second, the Ramban writes the Asham Schatayim are worse. The Netziv says the Asham Schatayim are less severe. But Hain suggested maybe they're both right on some level. The Ramban, the Netziv is right that on the pure Maisa Aveira level, the Maisa Aveira of Shifra Charufa is not as bad as Chilul Shabbos. It's not as bad. But on the underlying character trait, it may be worse. And it may lead me to be distant in a certain sense. Why? So here it's a little bit hard, but he suggests that part of it's underlying these Averas. Shifra Charufa is a particular kind of Arayos, which is technically not necessarily as terrible. I would add of a vulnerable woman, which you're taking advantage over with the same Chumrah of Arayos, that reflects a certain kind of crassness and personality sign, sort of an issue, which means that you're Shamim of it. Not because the chait is the worst chait in the world, although it's a bad chait, not as bad as other forms of arayos, but it reflects a certain underlying cause. Asham gezelos, where you withhold money, and then you lie with a shvua and subvert the system, also reflects a certain kind. It wasn't just the maisa gezela, it was a cover-up, which took place also, which is more thought out and methodical. Again, I'm not sure how much is Rabbi Hain, how much is me, which is part of that also. Many suggest, some Rishonim even, I believe, that Asham Taloi is in that respect also. You're not even sure if you violated an Avera, which would be Chai V'Chatas. It's a certain kind of apathy was so terrible. You aren't even sure exactly how you're going to categorize it. It's all in sort of like that category in a certain sense, which means then that maybe Asham is like a Chatas in a certain sense. It's about kapara for a sin, but like Asham also focused on Maisa Avera, but more these sort of like underlying cause of certain Maisa Averas, and maybe that's how you put some of the Rambans together also. Like an Ola like a Chatas, you're lost and it's worse, but it's also not necessarily as bad. It's a shame in Manachnu, it's a cause behind it. Maybe that gives at least some perspective in Ola. I want to stop because I think timing-wise, this is more or less what we're supposed to be up to.